deeper into this message of giving in favor. Giving in favor. We're going to get a little deeper. We got went in a little bit on Sunday. I really think we got into the nuts and the bolts of it Sunday, and talked about how important it is for us as the people of God to give, to sow, to contribute to the kingdom of God. And which this is not an uncommon message for us at New Creation Ministries. Amen. Because each year we spend at least a month or a little over teaching on giving, because we do believe that giving is God's way of prospering and increasing us. Amen. We believe that. I believe that. I believe that I can't increase unless I give. I'm just sold on it. I mean, it's nothing having to do with my good looks, even though I do look good, but I'm not blessed because I look good. Has nothing to do with a car I drive, a house I live in. Has nothing to do with the church I pastor. Has nothing to do with the people of God that God has used my life to influence, but it has all to do with the seeds that I've sown. And I believe that once we buy into God's way of prospering us, I believe financially we'll find ourselves a lot better. Because it's not the will of God for the child of God to struggle financially. That's true. You have to accept that is not his will. It doesn't matter how long you've struggled. It doesn't matter when you've struggled. And it doesn't matter how many other people you see struggle. That's not God's will for the child of God. God's will is not for us to struggle financially. He wants us to be able to live a financial free life. And he has prescribed and designed a way for us to do it. And our job is to accept that way and to trust that way and to begin to live by that way so that it can benefit us. Just like believing in the Lord Jesus Christ allowed you to receive salvation. And you didn't do anything to do it. You believed, you accepted it. You accepted the fact that Jesus died for you. He shed his blood. He granted you forgiveness. He was buried. He was raised from the dead. Now you have eternal life. And you believe that. And because you believe that, you now have eternal life. Because you believe that, now you are going to spend eternity with God. Now, but there's other parts to that life that God wants you and I to experience. And we have to, just like we accepted salvation, we have to accept all the other parts. Look at somebody and say, we have to accept all the other parts. You know, and if you notice, and it's not by coincidence that the enemy would really put a lot of squeeze on this area. It's not by coincidence that the enemy really insults the church when it comes down to giving. It's not by coincidence, because he understands that that's a part of your salvation. Wow. He understands that's a part of your blessing. That's a part of you being a child of God, a son or daughter of God. He understands that God wants you and I to increase. It saddens God when we don't increase. The Bible says that when we prosper, it brings pleasure to God. It pleases him for us to prosper. So if it pleases him for us to prosper, it displeases him when we do not prosper. Okay? So God wants us to increase. So we got to buy into that. We have to buy, and we got to buy into it the word way, not the world way. Somebody say the word way. Not the world way. See, we got to buy into it the word. So if you're going to buy into it the word way, then you're going to have to learn what the word say about it. And you're going to have to listen to these messages. You're going to have to listen to other messages that add to what I'm teaching. Now, don't go listen to somebody that's talking about, you know, God don't want his people to have nothing, that God want us poor and broke, you know, that all this stuff about prosperity is unnecessary. Don't talk to no folk like that, you know, because you're going to contaminate what God is trying to do in your life if you talk to people like that. If you listen to messages like that, because there are some messages out there that really, really talk against the message of increase. If you as a child of God are going to increase, you can't listen to that kind of stuff. Wow. You know, God told me in 2013, he said, I want you on a certain river. And he said, I don't want you to get off of that river until every single thing that I'm going to do in your life take place. He told me that. He said that. He said, get on the faith river and don't get out of that river until everything takes place. You guys remember when I talked about those three different rivers in Genesis, you know, and how those rivers divided up. You know, one went inland and one went another place. Then you had a river that went by gold and silver, the things that God wants you to have in the earth. So we have to bind it, and we have to understand that God do want us to prosper, and he wants us to be successful. Look at somebody and say, God want me to prosper and be successful. Yeah, he want me to be like that. Now, and we got to buy into that. Don't let nobody talk you out of it. And if you got some friends right now that don't understand, don't hang out with them all year. Don't hang out with them all year. Just say, okay, I love you, but I'm going to sanctify myself from you this year. We'll get back together in 2016. You know, but 2015, I got to separate myself. Because why? I'm working on something. Look at somebody and say, I'm working on something. Yeah, working on something, okay? And how many want to be blessed? That's the human desire. How many? Because you know why? God put that innate desire in you. He put it in you. That's why you're unsatisfied when you're not. That's why you're frustrated when you're not. That's why when you're not increasing and multiplying like you know you ought to be, you get a little upset with your life. Look at somebody and say, because you know it's greater for you. It's greater for you. Okay? So in our foundational scripture, it said, dwell temporarily in this land, and these are the instructions of God to Isaac. And you have to remember, like I said on Sunday, when God is trying to increase you a certain way, you have to pay attention to instructions. Okay? You have to pay attention to instructions, because every divine instructions in that favorable year will determine whether or not you experience the favor of God on your life. So you have to pay attention to instructions. You just can't be out here not listening to the voice of God. See, the Bible says, let him that have an ear do what? Hear what the Spirit is saying to who? The church. Okay? So you got to be disciplined enough to follow instructions. God told Isaac, he said, dwell temporarily in this land. Temporarily, I need you to stay right here. Okay? Don't do anything other than what I'm telling you to do. And then he said, and I will be with you, and will favor you, here it is, with blessings. Now look what he said. He said, I'm going to favor you with blessings. Now, God proved to Isaac that what he said to Isaac took place. Isaac received the results of following the instructions of God. All right? Go down to the verse 12 through 14. Okay? Notice what God told him. He said, dwell here. And he said, I'm going to favor you with what? Blessings. With blessings. Blessings are the empowerment of God to prosper and excel. That's the blessing. I've been teaching that for a long time. The empowerment to prosper and excel. That's the blessing. You see, the blessing is not money. The blessing is not a bank account. The blessing is not your job. The blessing is the empowerment of God on your life. Okay? So he said, dwell here. Do what I tell you to do. And he said, I'm going to empower you. I'm going to give you some favor. I'm going to empower you. And I'm going to bless your descendants. So this is not just a decision for you. It's a decision for your children's children. See, you have to understand, when God is trying to increase you, he's not just thinking about you. The increase of God on your life is bigger than you. He have your grandchildren in mind. The grandchildren that had not even left heaven yet. God is trying to prepare on earth a wealthy place for them. Okay? So he said, and then God proved to him, if you do what I tell you, it would work. In the 12th verse, it said, then Isaac did what? Okay? So Isaac did what God told him to do, and then he did something uncommon. See, you have to pay attention to divine instruction. Then you have to make sure that you're not afraid to do something uncommon. Because favor always challenges you to do something against the norm. It challenges you to do something that nobody else is doing. Nobody at this particular time did what Isaac done, because the Bible didn't record it. The Bible didn't say a Philistine did it and Isaac did it, and Isaac seed out growed the Philistine seed. The Bible didn't say that. The Bible say, and Isaac sowed. So in other words, Isaac was the only one that was willing to do something uncommon. Now, listen to this. When you're willing to do something uncommon, normally you're going to activate a law of God. Because God's laws, the Bible says, let me make it plain to you. Go to Isaiah 55. Because we got to get it. I told you, I don't mind grinding with this because I really want you to get it. Okay? I don't mind grinding with it because I really want you to get it. Because I want it to become a part of every part of who you are. Because when that word becomes a part of every part of your life, then you become the revelation of that word that you're responding to. You become the embodiment of that word. Okay? You become the being of that word. That's where God wants to get you and I at. To the point that people can look at you and see God's principles. Wow. See, that's what it meant. You know, when you know, we sang the song about let your light so shine, my God, you know, I'm going to shine my light, let my light shine, all this stuff. We didn't realize he was actually talking about allowing the knowledge of God to be seen in our lives. The word light is a word that we have in its knowledge. Allow the knowledge of God to be seen in our lives. That's what he's talking about. Okay, what did I tell you to go? Isaiah 55. Okay. All right, let's go there. Isaiah 55, because normally when you do something uncommon, you're going to activate a law of God, because God's ways are not like yours. Look at somebody and say, God's ways are not like mine. Yeah, his ways are not like ours. So we have to understand when we begin to do something uncommon, we're going to tap into a law of God. Verse number 8. We're going to tap into a law of God. Look what he said. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says who? Okay. So Isaac did something uncommon, and Isaac activated a law of God. Go to Genesis chapter number 8. We went over this Sunday. Okay? He did something uncommon. See, sometimes... if you do the opposite of what you normally do, you'll run into God. Because his ways is not like it. Sometimes what you're doing, all you have to do is reverse it and you'll find him. See how, look at somebody and say, that's simple, isn't it? If you're doing something right now and it hasn't produced what the Bible says it's supposed to be producing, then what you need to do, reverse it. Reverse it. Because what he does and how he thinks is not like what we do and how we think. His ways, his thoughts are much more higher than ours. See? Somebody say his ways and his thoughts is much more higher than ours. Yeah. And we have to understand that. God's ways and thoughts is a lot higher than ours. There's a higher principle than the principles and the laws that you live in the natural by every day. They're higher principles. There are principles in the realm of the spirit that govern the principles and the laws in the realm of the physical. So you have to go up a little higher. Somebody say, go up a little higher. Yeah, go up a little higher. And once you start getting into that place, then you'll start seeing certain things that you like, man, how did I miss that? How did I end up being saved 30 years and miss that one? Oh, wow. You see, the Bible says line upon line, precept upon precept, from glory to glory, from faith to faith. The more and more you get into what God is trying to do in your life, the more and more you begin to see him clearly. Wow. See, every aspect of your life, God has a revelation for it. Wow. Say that with me. Say, every aspect of my life, God have a revelation for it. Now, it's your job to get the revelation, not God's job to get the revelation. He already knows. It's your job to get the revelation so that your life can be empowered in that area. Because if you don't get the revelation, guess what? Your life won't change in that area. And you can be saved for 40 years and keep going through the same thing in certain areas of your life, and nothing changes. Okay, because revelation actually gives you the power for application. No revelation, there's no empowerment for application. You have to receive revelation. Yeah, just like when I'm teaching or somebody else teaching, and you get the revelation of what they're saying, it gives you the power to activate it. If you don't get the revelation, you'll come back the next time, or you'll go back to the next conference, and you won't have no difference in your life in that area because you didn't get the revelation of it. Okay? You have to get, I say, you have to get the revelation. Okay? So here is Isaac doing something uncommon, and when he did something uncommon, he activated a principle of God. All right? Verse number 22. He activated, he did something uncommon, did something nobody else was doing. See, and sometimes when you take that faith risk to do things that nobody else is doing, you're going to be looked at a little different. People, you know, going to look at you different. They're going to say little smart things to you. Because can you imagine, you know, the people coming by Isaac, the Philistines coming by Isaac, and they see Isaac out there in the field, see his men out there in the field, and they sowing seed, and they know there hadn't been no rain. They know they're in a famine. They know the grounds are hard. They know the grounds are not moistured. They know that the conditions of the weather and the climate is not conducive for sowing. Can you imagine what they were saying when they were looking at him sowing? Can you imagine what they were doing? The Bible don't go into it, but you got to understand now, this was not something unnormal, uncommon, you know, for his culture. You see, you had people living around Isaac when he was doing something uncommon. So you know the human behavior. You know how we are. You know how you are. If you see somebody doing something a little strange, go by the corner and they're talking to themselves. Well, you look at them, oh, something wrong with her. Something wrong with him. Why are they acting like that? Why are they acting so different? Why are they acting so strange? No different with Isaac. No different with Isaac. He was sowing, and I'm sure his neighboring allies at that time, the Philistines, was like, man, you're crazy, Isaac. You out there sowing them seed, it's not going to work. You're not going to reap anything. People are going to do you the same way when you tap into something and you start doing something uncommon. For the word, especially when it comes to giving, sowing, that is uncommon. That is uncommon in our time. In our time, it is uncommon. Wow. In our time, it is uncommon to be a consistent giver. It is uncommon to be a consistent tither. It is uncommon. It is uncommon. When you look at the stats, the statistics of people who contribute to church and contribute to tithe, it is awful. It is awful. Because it is uncommon now to do that. See, but you have to understand, when you tap into the uncommon, you activate a law or principle of God. Look what he says in verse 22. He says, while the earth remains, while the earth continue, while the earth exists, what did he say is going to be? So, seed time and harvest is a law. It's a principle. It's a time of sowing, and it's a time of what? Reaping. So here's Isaac tapping into this principle, and when he tapped into it, what God told him about empowering him and favoring him did what? Came to pass. How did it come to pass? Look what happened. Look what happened. Look what happened. It said Isaac sowed seed in the land, receiving the same year what? 100 times 100-fold as much as he had planted. And here it is. And the Lord favored him with blessings. And the man became what? Okay, and what else happened? Okay, it's three levels of prosperity that happened to him. Y'all read it to me because I got the Amplified here. Give me the three. Somebody read it to me. And the man became what? Uh-huh. Uh-huh. White's great. Went forward. And grew until he became very great. In other words, whatever God told Isaac that it was going to happen in his life, when he did the uncommon, he activated a principle, and the favor of God produced the results. You're trying to figure out why the results are not happening. Because you haven't did anything uncommon yet. Have to do something against the grain. Have to do something against your emotion. Do something against your feelings. Do something against your natural inclination. Your natural thoughts. See, because you got to understand, God does not appeal to your natural thoughts. He appeals to his principles that are in your spirit, not your natural thoughts. So Isaac did exactly what he needed to do, and he began to reap the results. Look at somebody say, when you do what you need to do, you will reap the results. Yeah. If you obey God and you apply the principle of giving, God will do exactly what he told you he would do if you do it. But if you don't do it, don't be expecting. Don't be talking about some God, I'm looking for a blessing and you hadn't practiced the principle. That's like going out there in that field and talking about I'm looking for some corn and you didn't plant any. How many of us do that? Okay, God, I'm looking for you. I'm expecting you to do something, but I have not practiced or applied the principle to get your favor on what I'm expecting. See, look at somebody and say, we need God's favor on what we are expecting. Yeah. So you have to do something. You have to do something. You have to respond in faith. Okay? Not in feelings. Somebody say, respond in faith, not in feelings. All right? You have to respond in faith. You have to respond in faith. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. Man, you know, I've been trying to finish this, but man, it is just so much that I don't know. But I know one thing, I'm determined to be done with it by next Tuesday. Amen. But I want us to get it. I'm not really trying to rush it. I want us to get it. Amen. I want us to get it because what God wants, he wants us to start experiencing the result. Because when you experience the result of something you apply, it allows you to start being inspired to do something else. See, you start getting inspired. You start getting motivated. You know, David said, you know, when the bear came and the lion came, you know, he said, I defeated both of them. So that gave David momentum when it came to Goliath because he had a past history with God. Look at somebody and say, when you have a past history with God, the present problem is not really a problem. See, David said, listen, I defeated the lion. I defeated the bear. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? See, who is he? It doesn't matter how tall he is. It doesn't matter what kind of weapons he have. He said, I have the Lord of God, the Lord of hosts on my side. I proved him and he works. Look at somebody and say, if you prove God, he will show you that he works. Yeah, he works, all right? In verse number 6-8, look what it says here. Think verse 6-8. Let's see. Okay, I'm in the wrong one. I'm in 1 Corinthians. That's not the right place. All right. Verse 6-8. He said, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Now look what he's saying here now. He's saying now the level that you sow will determine the level that you reap. Look at somebody and say, the level in which you sow will determine the level that you would reap. Yeah. What God is saying, he's not in control of your financial prosperity. Wow. God say, I've given you the laws of it. I've given you the principles. Your financial prosperity is up to you. He said, I've given you a big open space. Whatever you do with it, it's going to determine the results. We say, bless me, Lord. God said, are you working the blessed principles? Look what he's saying now. It's in black and white. He said, if you sow what? Sparingly. So somebody tell me what sparingly is. Okay? So if you sow sparingly, or one even, I think the message of the Amplified say, if you are a stingy giver. Yeah, so if you sow sparingly, that means what you're saying to God, okay, this is what kind of harvest life I want to live in. This is a life that I've chosen to live in, and this is how I'm going to live all the days of my life on earth. Because if you sow sparingly, he said you're going to reap what? So what did he say next? If you sow bountifully, you're going to reap what? So a bountiful sower is a liberal sower. It's a person that don't cringe when it comes time to give. That's how you know you're bountiful. See, if you get to the place to give and in your mind you got a bad feeling about it, You're a grudgeful giver. You're a sparingly giver. So you got to study your attitude and your feelings in your giving. See, you got to study that. You know, so we say if you give bountifully or liberally, what you gonna get back? Bountiful, liberally harvest. So you determine that. Look at somebody say, I determine that.
I determine it.
See, it took me some maturing and some growing up to find out that God is saying, listen, my will is not gonna automatically happen for your life. My will is not going to automatically happen for your life, okay? Is it the will of God for everybody to be saved? Is everybody going to be saved? Okay, so what did that tell you? The will of God don't automatically happen. If you don't accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're not going to be saved. And there's a lot of people that are not going to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and it's not the will of God for them not to be saved. It is His will for them to be saved. See, you think that, you know, God's will just automatically, no. There's principles you're going to have to tap into. And I had to find that out the hard way. If I don't tap into the principle, then I'm not going to get the results. I'm hoping, I'm praying that the will of God happened in my life, and year in and year out, it never happens because I didn't tap into the principle, okay? Look at somebody and say, your prosperity is up to you. Where you are right now, the devil didn't put you there, God didn't put you there, you put you there. But guess what? Pastor Carter is here to get you out of there. Because I'm getting out of there. The devil is a lie. I will not live all these years on this earth and be saved 50 years and don't get everything God has for me. And if you stick with me long enough and you practice the principles that I practice, you're going to be the same way. You don't want to go year in, year out, 1 year in, 1 year out, and you talking about the same old thing you talked about last year. Look at somebody and say, you need a different testimony. We done heard that old one. It's time for you to have a different testimony. It's time for you to start talking about how God opened up this door, how God opened up this opportunity, how God brought me from this level and carried me to that level.
Amen. Amen.
Why? Because that's God's desire for you. He said, if you sow liberally, look at somebody and say, liberal sowing
is an attitude.
Because it doesn't matter how much you have, if you got a liberal attitude while you're sowing, you'll get the same increase of somebody who sow more than you. See, liberal sowing is an attitude, it's not the amount. See, it's all in how you are thinking. See, sometimes, you know, I was just in a service for 7 days, went to another service Sunday night, and I received the offering at our KBF service every night. And when I got to the receiving of the offering, I knew who was stingy givers because I could feel the pressure from certain areas of the church. See, you have to be careful when you're around a man of God that God has gifted with discernment, because Jesus was able to read the thoughts of his disciples. Now, I don't have to say something, but I can read emotions. See, I can read how people are thinking, because sometimes your thoughts on your expression, especially when it comes to giving. Because your hope, when they're talking about how God going to bless you, how God going to increase you, how God going to, but then when they say give, and you go, and you go to looking in your pocketbook, you go to looking around at somebody, that means that you are not a liberal giver. See, a liberal giver is a person who gives with the right attitude. Say that with me. Say, a liberal giver is the person who gives with the right attitude. See, how do you develop your attitude to give? Feeding your faith and starving your doubt. You develop a good attitude about giving by feeding your faith and starving your doubt. You're going to have to stay in this word, stay in this word, develop a faith mindset about every faith adventure God will put you on. That's how you get your mind there. Because sometimes it's hard to respond when you don't have a faith mind to do so. Okay? You can have faith to be healed and not have faith to prosper. You got a lot of people healed, but they broke. That's not the will of God. God don't want you healed and don't have any money to live. Because you can be healed and you can't enjoy your life. Guess what? If you can't enjoy your life, you might return right back to where you were when you were sick. Because God wants the whole part of you, whole, saved, healed, soteria. He wants you to have the whole pie, not a slice of it. Got it? All right, look what it says here. I'm about done. Is this helping you?
Amen.
Okay, I'm just about done. But we're gonna keep plunging in this here because I'm telling you, I believe I'm looking at some millionaires and some business owners. And, you know what I'm saying? But we got to get the principles. Look at what I say, we got to get the principles working. Yeah, got to get them working, man. We got to get, because we don't want to be a church that, you know, we 100 years old in the earth, but has no legacy to leave to the next generation. All we can leave them is a hymn. We don't want to be that. Want to be able to leave them something that they can be able to take this vision to the next level. Yeah, don't want to just leave them some dirt. Okay? We got to leave them something that they can take this vision to the next level, okay? And it's going to be determined by us who are working at the foundational level.
That's right.
What do you want for your grandchildren spiritually? Wow. Think about it. What do you want for them spiritually? Do you even think that far? See? And this foundational level of this vision will determine what happens for the grandchildren when their time comes to lead. Okay? Look what he says here. He said, verse number 7, so let each one give as he or she purposes in his or her heart. So giving should be intentional, not sporadic, not emotional. See, God told me I used to give emotionally. I used to give based on my feelings. Mm-hmm. Used to give based on how somebody made me feel when they was lifting up an offering. And I didn't want to be the one who didn't stand up. So I would stand up, you know, just because everybody else was standing up. Used to give like that. Didn't prosper, though. Didn't increase. Didn't help me out any. I just lost some money that night. That's all. You had good intentions, though. But gave the wrong way. But now I purpose to give. It doesn't matter what service I go to. I got an offering. And it doesn't matter how much it is. My mind is free on giving. I'm not in bondage when it comes to giving. It doesn't matter whose service I'm in. I could be in a service with a faith man of God who requires certain amounts of money. And it doesn't matter. Whatever I have, that's what I'm going to give. And if I have what they ask for, I give that too because I'm free. Because somebody said, you got to be free. Yeah, you got to be free. You can't be in bondage sitting there. I'm not in bondage. No, I'm not in bondage. It doesn't matter who I'm in the company of. I'm free. Because I'm giving on the purpose level that is in my heart. And I know if I give on that level, God's going to increase me. So my next time around, I'm going to purpose something bigger. See, he said, let every person, nobody should be coercing you to give. You should be building your faith until you already have in your heart, this is what I'm going to do. Okay? All right? So you have to be intentional about giving. Somebody say, you have to be intentional about giving. Yeah, be intentional. So you got to get it. See, some people say, I ain't going to church because I ain't wanting to hear nobody talking about giving. No, I'm going to be right in there. I'm going to be right sitting right there. If I got $20, I come to give that. Because why? I'm free. If it's 100, I come to give that. If I got 1,000, I can give it and still be responsible, I'm going to give the 1,000. But if I can't be responsible, And the Holy Ghost don't tell me to do it. I don't care if you stand up there and sweat blood. This money already belonged to somebody. you understand what I'm saying? Look at somebody and say, be a free giver. Yeah, be a free giver. Purpose in your heart. Start purposing. Every week, start purposing. Before you get to Sunday. Stop. My wife, man, she, boy, this last 2014, you know, 2013, man, she upped her giving. I'm talking about, you know, to our church and then sowing into other ministry, casting her bread upon the water, you know. And I used to look at the statement. I'm like, girl, what you doing? You understand what I'm saying? Because now she's surpassing me. And she's like, don't touch that. You know me, I'm like, touch it. I'm like, man, I want to do something about it. You understand what I'm saying? Because, see, how at one time my attitude toward giving, now it was contagious. Mm-hmm. And now she's sowing. You see? See, why? Because the attitude I have has now affected her, and the attitude she got right now has now affected me. So I be like, I ain't gonna let you outdo me. I told her that today. No, you ain't gonna outdo me. You understand what I'm saying? I told her that just today. Because why? It is contagious. A liberal giver is contagious. They're contagious. And they're positive people to be around. When you're around liberal givers, they never talk doubt. They can be in a storm and they still talking like it's sunshining. Why? Because their giving depicts their attitude toward life. Because they know that because they are a giver, they are a sower, it's not going to always be like this. Come on. My seed that I have sent into my future going to get me out of this present trouble. Right. No matter what start happening in your life, after you give, you already know that seed going to bring me out. It's going to bring me out because God got the honest word and I did what he told me to do. I don't care how dark the clouds is. Care how many headaches I'm waking up with. I don't care how many phone calls trying to distract me. My seed is going to bring me out. Look at somebody and say, my seed going to bring me out. Yeah, going to bring me out. I don't have to brag about it. I don't have to tell nobody about it. The proof of being the pudding when the seed bring me out of my present trouble. By my purpose, my attitude got to be right. Look at somebody and say, your purpose and your attitude have to be right. Yeah, have to be right, man. I'm telling you, watch. When you sow with purpose and you sow with a good attitude, watch how your seed returns start changing. See, sometimes, I'm telling you, let me tell you about God. Sometimes, man, you got the right attitude. God got somebody with your harvest already in the house. But if you give with that stingy attitude, God calls them to close up their bosom on you and walk right out of church with your blessing. Why? Because your attitude and your purpose. See, a liberal sower is a person who sows with a free attitude. They're not in bondage about what they're doing. They're not entertaining no thoughts of the devil, no suggestions of the devil, no suggestions of the flesh. They're on purpose in their heart. This is what I'm going to do, and I'm doing it because of me obeying the word of God. Because I got to keep the favor of God picking up momentum in my life. Because, see, you know the seed you sow can't do everything God wants to be done in your life. You know that, don't you? How many got some wild dreams? You know what God told me the other day? He said to me, he said, in favor, you got to get to the place that you can ask God something beyond your imagination. I said, oh, God, you done mess with me. Ask you something. Oh, I just start calling out stuff. I'm serious. Oh, man. He said, ask me something beyond your imagination. He said, you got to ask me something that only I can do. So I just started asking. I just started. Some of them might have been, you know, redundant. But I'll just say, okay, if you're going to tell me to do something above my imagination, I'm going to ask you everything that I can even think of. You see, why? Because God is bringing the people of God into a place where the world going to know we the church. Look at somebody and say, the world going to know we the church. Yeah. We're not going to be perpetrating no more. We're not going to be pretending no more. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to have what God say we're supposed to have. We're going to be who God say we're supposed to be. We're going to go where God say we're supposed to go. We're not no imposters. Yeah, we are authentic We are genuine believers of the Lord's church. But what he says here, he says, purpose in your heart. And then he said, not grudgingly. Not grudgingly. Not reluctant. See, when you give, make sure that when you give, you're not giving regretting it. Now, you might be giving and it's a little past what you normally give. And you know, you feel that emotional pain, but you don't regret what you're doing. How you ever gave a gift, you know, and it stressed you a little bit? How many of them gave a gift like that? That you know that you can remember right now when you gave it. You can remember the environment you gave it in. You can remember the people you gave it to. You can remember the time you gave it to them. How many of them gave a gift like that before? I mean, you right now, I'm talking about you say, man, I remember I gave that gift, Lord, have mercy. He said, when you give, don't give grudgingly. See, if you were a giver, get restored. Don't allow the complications of the past to rob you from the prosperity of the now. If you were a giver, get restored. Get restored. Be like God told Peter. Jesus told Peter, say, the devil desired to sift you as wheat. He desired to get you out of my will, desired to get you out of my plan. But Jesus said, I have prayed for you, Peter. Listen to this, that your faith faileth not. And then he told him, he said, and when you have been converted, he said, when you bounce back, go strengthen the brethren. You got it? Okay, look what he says. He says, grudgingly or of necessity. You know, that means you're giving, you know, because you feel pressured. You're now getting in your emotions, your feelings, you know, about the act of faith that you're about to participate in. And you got to remember, faith is not feelings. Faith is not. That's why even in Christendom, you know, you can't follow a person of faith with your feelings. You have to follow that person with your faith. You can't follow with your feelings, because if you follow with your feelings, you'll jump off the boat whenever you get ready to. See, look at him and say, you have to follow with your faith. See, that's what he said in 13th chapter of Hebrews. He said, whose faith follow? You follow with your faith, not your feelings. Yeah. Look what he says here now. He says, for God loves a what? Cheerful giver. Somebody just give me, you know, just a basic definition that you think cheerful mean. Excited, happy. You said two strong words that we're familiar with, excited. How do you act when you're excited and you're happy? I mean, how do you act when you do it? How? Smiley, bubbly. Okay, somebody give me one example of something that makes you happy and excited. One example. Somebody give you some money? How you do? My wife said her husband, woo. Give me a H. H. You got your H. You got your H. Give me a U. U. Somebody give you some money, you get excited. You're excited. You're bubbling over. You know, so tell me some kind of hobby or something that you get excited and happy about. Who like fishing? I know Brother Kwanzaa. When it's hunting. What's yours? Singing. You can tell too. Boy, she excited. She's happy. You understand? That's the kind of attitude he's saying your giving should be. There should be an outward expression about an inward decision that you are making to give. It should be. Somebody ought to be able to say that person enjoys doing that. Even when you give people something, you know. Some people, I know somebody, I've been pastoring some of you about 10 years now, a little over 10 years, and some of you just love to give. I know some just love to, they happy. They happy about being able to help somebody. Look at somebody and say, that's a good feeling. See, the devil will try to rob you of that and try to talk you out of it because somebody got over on you. If you are a giver, people will get over on you because they're going to take your kindness for weakness, but don't let that stop you from giving. People will get over them because people don't know how to appreciate people of value in their life. And you have to be distinguished enough to not allow that to get in your heart. Because if you're a giver, you're going to get got. I don't know too many givers that hadn't been got. All the givers in the house that done been got, raise your hand. Some of you got to raise hands, feet, or stand on the ground. See, that's what I'm saying. You know, but don't allow that to disturb your liberality. We're going to get into the rest of this Sunday, but don't let that disturb your liberality, because your liberality is your way out. The devil cannot hold down a liberal giver. He can't hold your finances bonded if you're a liberal giver. He can't do it. Why? Because when you give, even though it is an outward expression of your faith on earth, but it is an empowerment in the realm of the spirit. And every demon have to respect the seed that a child of God sows. Have to respect it. That's why God say that he'll rebuke the devourer. God say, I'll take care of that devil for you. He said, you'll stop having to deal with that devil. He said, I take care of that devil for you if you put it in my hands. He said, if you get it out your hand and put it in my hand, I take care of that devil. I'll rebuke him for your sake. He said, I do it for your sake. I do it for your sake. Look at somebody and say, God is going to do it for my sake. Yeah, that devil thought he was going to get you out of place, that you wasn't going to come back. But let that devil know, devil, you a liar. I'm coming back bigger. I'm coming back better. I'm coming back greater, because I've learned from my experiences. Come on, that's it. I'm done. Hallelujah. My God, my God. Man, I'm telling you, boy, the Lord is good now. Hey, he's good. I'm enjoying myself too. I'm busy as I don't know what,